We began to glance over our shoulders rather cautiously. Only 15 minutes more in which it would be possible to shoot, I thought, glancing at my wristwatch. It was just 5:45. I was at the blind, peering through the peephole at Herbert's side, and Herbert was directly behind me, sitting down. There was a feeling in the air that the day was done. And then, as I looked out, realizing that every moment was slipping by, bearing away forever the chances it might have held, I saw something. Out of the wall of distant shadows came a gleam of golden black, vivid as lightning against the green, and the tiger walked out of the jungle. Never in my life had I seen such a picture. Elephants by moonlight, lions at dawn, gorillas at blazing noon I had seen, but nothing was ever so beautiful and so glorious as that tiger walking out of his jungle. He was everything that was wild and savage, lordly and sinister. For a moment I could imagine I was dreaming. He stood clearly outlined against the background of the forest, and he looked enormous. The great striped roundness of him was like a barrel. Then he moved and seemed to flow along the ground nearer and nearer. He stopped and looked up at our bush. I could hardly breathe. If he should take alarm. He stared with a threatening look, then, as if satisfied, he turned his head toward the dead buffalo and walked over toward it. Then I dared let the leaf go back into place while I turned to Herbert behind me. My lips formed, "Tiger here," and over Herbert's face came a look of deepest pity. "Poor girl," he thought, "she has dreamed tigers, and she has looked for tigers, and now she thinks she is seeing them." Then his face changed. He rose, and I moved to his side as he stepped forward to his place. Noiselessly, we lifted the leaves over our peepholes and raised our guns to fill the opening.